You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's a Thursday, which means it's time to get riled up on the Cowboys with your host, Roy White. Follow me at RW3 on the Twitter sphere, and my man, the namesake of the program, Mr. Tom Ryle, back in the saddle this week and back in many ways for the Blogging the Boys team. Of course, you can follow Tom at Tom Ryle BTB. And the reason I say he's back in many ways is because Tom, this week, in fact, you launched, along with a couple of the other guys here on the Blogging the Boys program, a new podcast that we're going to be getting into here in the coming weeks. Tell the folks about it.
Yeah, it's actually a YouTube live stream, so it's got video. And RJ Ochoa and Dave Sturcio, who is from one of our other podcasts called Jersey Boys, we just sat and discussed what we thought was coming up in training camp. You can go to the Blogging the Boys YouTube account. You can subscribe or go back and take a look at the recording of the live stream and see what you think of it. I will apologize in advance because I was having some internet problems the first 15 minutes or so before I really got consistent when I could be on it. I kept dropping in and out on them, but we did finish up pretty strong, and I may be going back for some more visits with them in the future. So, like I said, check out the Blogging the Boys channel. We're on YouTube, and give us a subscription if you are up for it. We will try to be entertaining at all times.
Yeah, and that subscription will go a long way for you as we move into the regular season, because not only do we have several live streams planned throughout training camp, but we will have a guaranteed post Hard Knocks live stream after every single episode. So the first episode comes up August 10th. Make sure you hit that subscribe button before then, because right after the program, Blogging the Boys is going to be going live on the YouTube live stream to give you the content that you're looking for, right? Give you a whole breakdown and tell you exactly what we saw in that Hard Knocks episode. That gives us a little insight into what the Cowboys' plans might be into the 2021 season. But we got a little more of that insight, actually, Tom, as yesterday it was the Cowboys' State of the Team address. And Jerry Jones up there, along with Stephen Jones and Mike McCarthy, spending about an hour or so with the media answering questions, everything from what Dak Prescott's status is to the likelihood of Randy Gregory and his involvement in the defense. And, of course, one of the big questions that's been going around here this week, Tom, what are the vaccination numbers like for the Dallas Cowboys, and how might that affect their chances here in the 2021 season? So first, I think we can start with Jerry, ever optimistic, ever excitable Jerry. In fact, there was a part at the very end of, and I'm sorry to start at the end of the State of the Union address, but to me, it struck me. So hard, man. Yeah. It hit me like a ton of bricks. And that was when Jerry said, and I'm paraphrasing because I can never say it quite as well as he does, but it's better to be naive. Life is better when you're naive as opposed to being skeptical all the time.
And yeah, that was that jumped out at me just like it did for you. It was a little bit of insight, a little more bearing of the soul than you normally saw. Between that and the story about Barry Switzer that he followed it up with, it included a few F-bombs dropped in there.
Oh, anytime you get an F-bomb, that's a big one too. How could I miss that?
Yeah, and he, you saw a little bit of how Jerry works and how deeply invested in this team he is. You may not like some of his decisions. You might not like some of his style, But the man believes in what he's doing. He sincerely wants this team to succeed. We'll do almost anything except maybe, you know, hire a real GM. Yeah.
that part Steve, I love too. I would do anything. You have no idea how big of a check I would write. Well, no, we do. We all know you would spend the money. We just know you wouldn't do anything to achieve the highest goal.
Wouldn't tell Steven to step back, you know, and let's bring in a professional for this. But yeah, the rest of it was really just touching. And he even came out and admitted about the situation with Jimmy Johnson, that he had blown it, to paraphrase, and he didn't know how he'd blown it. He just knew that he took responsibility for that, and that was
okay. Did you read that as him taking responsibility? Because the way I heard that was, man, I've looked under every nook and cranny, and I can't figure out how the hell that situation got screwed up. When the answer is, Jerry, the situation got screwed up when you got drunk in a bar one night and mouthed off to, you know, a bystander who happened to be a media personality, saying that just about anybody could have won a Super Bowl with the team that you had assembled.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we all know why what begat the spat. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I did mishear it, but he did say, yeah, I messed it up. He did admit it, which may have been an allusion to that, but I think he feels like he didn't do a good job at all of recovering from the situation. So it was an interesting bit of openness. But, you know, when you go back to the start of it, Jerry was still Jerry the salesman. Because he was really, pushing the idea of keeping full attendance this year. Very proud of the fact that of all the people that attended NFL games, 22% to 24% of them were at a Dallas game, home or away, which is largely because AT&T Stadium was going with full attendance, you know. And that's a monster stadium, and they were packing them in while a lot of other teams still had it. So – he wants to keep that. He tied that into being backs at Oxnard, or Oxnard, as he said. He wants to get the people involved, and he was obviously talking to the bottom line about getting fan engagement and getting people into the stadiums, and he hopes it's going to go well, which all is still a little bit in question, because they immediately got into talking about the whole immunization thing.
Go hand in hand, don't they? I mean, their ability to make money and their ability to sell out the stadium kind of also is tied into the messaging surrounding the fact that it may not be entirely safe to have that many people in a building at one time. Am I wrong?
Now I will say that being inside AT&T Stadium is not like being in an intimate restaurant.
No.
They have a really good air handling system. And people have said that it's about the same level of risk as you have sitting outside having a picnic in a park with other people around you. I don't know if that's scientifically accurate, but that is a comparison I've heard made. And Jerry in the past has stressed that they have that ability to keep the airflow going, which keeps the virus from actually being able to get to another person in enough concentration, because people don't realize it. Just because you inhale a few viruses, it doesn't mean you're going to catch it. You have to hit a certain, what they call viral load. I'm sorry, I'm getting all wonky about it here, but yeah, I think there's a good chance that they may be able to do it. I think the open-air stadiums can probably function well, and I'm assuming a lot of the other indoor stadiums have the same thing. But Jerry also specifically got into the whole 85% threshold for the vaccination of the team, which the Cowboys are not at. He insisted that they're down to 5 guys that are not looking to be fully vaccinated here, maybe as soon as the Hall of Fame game. And Steven was a little less emphatic, but he said that by the start of the season, they would certainly be over the 85% threshold.
Yeah. So the specifics on that, Jerry, basically he specified that there were about five guys that were unsure as to whether or not they would even get into the process. Up to this point, he felt confident that most of the players had either been vaccinated or were in the process of doing so. And that means, you know, if they're getting two shots, they maybe had one, but you've got to wait a month before you can get the second one. And so that may be the circumstances that we're referring
to. And he indicated some other guys are still going to get the first shot. They just haven't gotten there yet for whatever reasons.
Well, and the other suggestion that put me, you know, at a little bit more of ease was that he said that they would be able to play anybody that they wanted to play in the Hall of Fame game, which, you know, being that it is the Hall of Fame game, I don't know how much that means we're talking about actual starters. So there could be some issues where starters are still held holding out on this front. By the way, as a side note, he was asked for his opinion about Michael Irvin's comments. And Michael Irvin essentially, again, paraphrasing here, but essentially saying that if you are not getting vaccinated, then if I were in the locker room with you, I would question whether or not you were willing to do whatever it takes to win an NFL championship. Jerry hemmed and hawed on that and praised Michael Irvin, as he does, expertly so, right? Jerry takes a question like that and he absorbs it like a powerball. And then he reshapes the powerball and fires it back to the media in a way that I think the media finds themselves confused as to what you could even follow up with after he's taken your question and made it his own over a 4 to 5 minute, you know, answer period.
Yeah, I refer to that as his talent for obfuscation, which he can share with Stephen Jones, because Stephen trotted out a little of that later on during the press conference too. But I was really struck by Mike McCarthy's response to his personal vaccination status, because you know, he came out and said he was initially hesitant and didn't get it at first, but he sat and listened to medical people and looked at the you know, the reliable science, not the you know, the junk that's floating around out there. Yeah, and then he went and he got vaccinated. And that's a great example to set for the players, to say it's okay to have your doubts, but it's still okay to go and get the vaccine, because that's the wise thing to do. So, yeah, I was struck by how Mike McCarthy kind of revealed that and was very open about it. And it seemed to be about as honest a comment as he made during the whole thing. There were a couple other times. Well, there did a little honesty actually snuck out a few times during the press conference, because these things are not intended to make us that much smarter. They are intended to pump up the team and pump up the excitement. And that's really what's going on with it.
Well, and we did get a little bit of that. What's going to lead to that, as we alluded to earlier in the pod, is Hard Knocks beginning their filming, and they have already begun filming for their first episode that's going to debut on August 10th. Again, check the live stream at Blogging the Boys YouTube page. We'll have that for you. Instant reaction on that HBO Hard Knocks episode day one. But Mike McCarthy had a great line when he said that when he got the call from Jerry Jones that he about wrecked his truck, that they were going to be on Hard Knocks. And after a short conversation, which I assume went something like, yeah, bud, we're going to make a lot of money from this. So you're just going to keep your mouth shut and you're going to do what you do as a head coach. And you let us deal with the business side of things. All right there, partner. Mike McCarthy probably took that and said, you know what? Okay, I can get my truck back on the road and I can get driving down again. And I'm all in about it, right? I'm all in for it.
Yeah. Okay.
To which.
That was not one of the most honest moments.
Not at all. No, there's no way he was being honest about it. And there was a great question asked of him from the media as to what his response would be if his perception came off as a little bit negative, considering the head coaches that have been on there recently and the type of flack that they've taken for how they've been portrayed on the show. I thought that was very interesting and very funny. And Mike McCarthy, self-deprecating enough, hey, you know, he let us inside the barn when he wasn't even coaching, right? He did a whole portfolio about how much work he was doing to study the new NFL while he was sitting in a barn in Wisconsin, you know, out in the snow. So I can't imagine he'd be all that upset with a couple of cameras up in the corner that are watching him going through his coaching meetings.
Yeah. And, yeah, I did notice there were a lot of comments about the fact that he looked like Cool Hand Mike with his shades on and his beard.
The shades from Jamie Foxx. That
yeah, I saw that.
Jerry Jones was happily willing to give a plug on, and yet when Jade Slater of the NFL Network asked Jerry why he wasn't sporting Jalen Smith's brand, the Clear Eye View brand of sunglasses, Jerry looked like a deer in headlights. And when Slater said, and you can check her out at Jane Slater NFL or at Slater NFL, very good friend of mine, and she posted the video of her asking him about Jalen's Clear Eye View, and Jerry, I don't think he knew immediately what she was referring to. Jamie Foxx sunglasses on a little bit different tier than Jalen Smith's sunglasses, according to Jerry Jones, in my estimation. The good news we got, Tom, Dak Prescott going to be a full go from day one. That's fantastic news. Every Cowboys fan, I think, out there listening to this or listening to the State of the Union, State of the Cowboys press conference was excited to hear that. One question I did not hear anybody ask about, and correct me if I'm wrong, did we not get an update on Amari Cooper and whether or not he's going to be a full go to start training camp?
Nobody asked that one.
A full hour of a press conference and no one asked about the wide receiver that has been out since he had a touch-up ankle surgery back in February?
Yeah. You know, now, that's something we would ask, but we're just lowly bloggers working from our late mom's non-existent basement, in my case.
Golly.
So, you know, yeah, it's the media guys, unfortunately, are a little too much on board with playing Jerry's game, I think.
Well, they got to get an invite to the Jerry party. I'll be honest, like if you've ever been to a Jerry party, I sort of don't blame them. The party that he throws for the media there in California, I've been fortunate enough to have attended that a couple of times in my life. And I could see a media member shirking back just a little bit on their hardball questions at the beginning of training camp to make sure that they have an opportunity to be invited to that party. When it gets to its conclusion later in the year. There was also some joking back and forth about the shape of Ezekiel Elliott. Mike McCarthy had a funny comment about, you know, the social media picture that had cropped up regarding Joe Looney that Ezekiel Elliott retweeted and said, "Hey, man, I'm in the best shape of my life," and tweeted kind of a side-by-side photo of Joe Looney messing around a couple years ago wearing Zeke's 21 jersey. And then Zeke now, which – I got to give it to him. I mean, he looks like he's in some of the best shape in his career. And I'm not saying that I've ever been one who's looked at Zeke Elliott and been like, this guy's out of shape. He's fat or
– yeah.
But the year when he came back from training on his own in Mexico, it looked like it took some time to get him back into football shape. And
yeah, did you see the thing on Twitter? Somebody was talking about the fact that when he has a full preseason, he has a good year. When there's a holdout or he's fighting a suspension or things like that, or like he didn't have an offseason at all last year, he doesn't have a good year. And so now he's had a full one. And McCarthy, I believe it was, had a lot of praise for how he said 2 weeks after the end of the season, Zeke was in the building doing his own workouts, getting himself into shape because – as has been mentioned, he was coming off of his own COVID infection and never did really get into shape until maybe late in the season. And so he was doing everything he could to get there. And McCarthy also mentioned how that Zeke is going to the quarterback and offensive line meetings because he wants to understand everything about the offense, which is what I assume he's doing there. And so he seems to be absolutely committed this year, and a committed Zeke could be a dangerous Zeke.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
No question about it. And also from a leadership standpoint, I think that speaks to, you know, the clear leader of the team and of the offense is Dak Prescott. Like, he's taken those reins. He is in 100% control, and everybody will follow his lead. But I think with some of the leadership vacuum that has been left behind by veterans, you know, heading out and really, you know, guys getting older, I don't know if Tyron Smith was ever like a vocal leader on the offense as much as he had the pedigree to be able to say something and say anything that he wanted to. I feel Zach Martin is a leader of the offensive line, but again, that's almost like a different unit entirely, right? They speak their own language. Ezekiel Elliott, to me, has taken up that secondary leadership role where if I had to name the leaders on this team, I would probably go in order, Dak, DeMarcus, Zeke.
Yeah, and McCarthy even spoke some about growing leadership organically. That was a term he used that struck me. He says it doesn't happen in meeting rooms and stuff. It happens on the field. That's where leadership starts to exert itself. And he said, you know, just because somebody wasn't a great leader last year doesn't mean they're going to emerge as a good leader this year. And he said that can even happen with rookies. You'll sometimes see someone, I think he was kind of thinking about Micah Parsons without actually bringing his name up, that he could get out there and start exerting some leadership on the defense. Since, you know, he's expected to have a good shot at starting at the mic, then, you know, that's a good thing to have because he's going to be the signal caller. And that's, you know, if he can grow into that, that would be all for the good. McCarthy just seems to think that that's part of what training camp is about. And he talked a good bit. One of the things I felt that was kind of meaty for McCarthy was when he got into talking about what they're really doing in training camp. And he made it, you know, specified that first off, he expects it to be a little different this year, that in the past they'd come in and kind of done a refresh on the install. And he talked like he wants to curtail that this year and get more into situational football. He's especially focused on the, like, the last half of the fourth quarter when close games can be won and lost. And he wants to work on 2-minute drills and 4-minute drills and that kind of stuff. That was to me important. And he brought up just, you know, a simple fact of life that people tend to forget, that the one of the big missions in training camp is to figure out who your 53 are. You know, you've got probably 45 of them that you can kind of rattle off the top of your head. But those last guys, you know, that can be important decisions as to who to keep and who to let go. And they've got some interesting camp battles coming up that, you know, I think we might have mentioned that a little bit on the live stream about, you know, people like Bradley and I and Dorrance Armstrong maybe butting heads with each other and some other guys like that that are kind of on the bubble, even though they're veterans and you normally think they'd have a really good shot at making the team. So it's, you know, that's going to be a lot of it, trying to figure out how to mix and match because they've got, you know, they got 11 draft picks to try to figure out if they can find a place for them to fit on the team. And it's, I think, you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be at least 9 of them will be on the roster. And I'm hard pressed to pick the guy that's not going to make it. You know, maybe the last pick, Farniuk, you know, but he may be their best bet at a backup center. There was a post up going up on the site about the fact the Cowboys don't have any depth at center right now. They're putting all their money on Tyler Biadasz, and they're going to need to have somebody. That's why I'm just, you know, not saying it's going to happen, but I'm keeping an eye on that vacancy they've got on the 90-man roster. And interestingly enough, they mentioned Joe Looney, like maybe he's on their mind, because, boy, he would be great to have for depth. Now, that would bump some people off the roster, but Looney's a good player. I just don't know if the Cowboys can't afford him, because there's a lot of other teams that are going to be hurting for offensive linemen.
Well, make sure you check out the article that Tom actually wrote from a couple weeks back regarding the chances him and I gave to the draft picks of the Dallas Cowboys and their chances of actually making the roster. He did a great write-up on all the guys from Bohanna to Farniok to Semi Fehoko. Yeah, thank you to all those guys who have a chance of scratching this Cowboys roster out. But speaking of draft picks, I thought Steven gave us some insight into what their first-round plans actually were. Did you pick up on this as well when he said that there were cornerbacks, plural, that they believed were worthy of that first-round selection that they had, but by the time the picks got to them, they were no longer available? And, of course, you know, for those that remember, there were two cornerbacks taken right before the Dallas Cowboys, of course, Patrick Surtain and J.C. Horn, both of whom I think Steven admitted there would have been taken by the Cowboys were they available at 11. Did you read that same?
Yeah, I didn't catch that real closely because I was trying to jot down all kinds of notes. I filled three pages on a notepad with stuff. But yeah, I did catch him talking about the fact that they had people they had their eye on, but felt that by the time they got down to the Cowboys pick that Parsons was their best option then.
Mm-hmm. They were no longer available. One other note, you know, in the NFL wise that I think is worthy of discussing now that we're talking about Parsons and potentially Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith, a player by the name of Frank Warner, the linebacker with the San Francisco 49ers, just signed a 5-year, $95.5 million deal with over $40 million guaranteed. So a $19 million per year linebacker. That's not saying Frank Warner isn't potentially worth it, because his skill set between his ability to rush the passer, he had 4 sacks last season, and his ability in coverage, 22 pass breakups a season ago, was phenomenal in that role. That is the type of role that I could see paying a linebacker that type of money, but I won't do it if you're not an excellent cover linebacker, right? There's no world in which $19 million is a reasonable amount to pay to a linebacker that cannot cover and basically wipe out the inside slot receiver. Do Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch have any chance of getting paid out like that this season?
No. No, well, not Jalen, because he's still under contract for a while.
Yeah, hell no with Jalen. I mean, yeah, it's a question of whether or not he'll be worth the money that we're paying him now by the end of the season. But Leighton Vander Esch.
What this could do is push his price tag up if he is at least a reasonable facsimile of a good coverage linebacker. If, say, he gets a pick and breaks up a few passes and maybe gets a couple sacks, then he could really price himself right out of Dallas, because there's always somebody out there who's going to overpay for someone. It seems like. And, it all depends on him having a good year. Of course, he has a mediocre or worse year than Will. Assuming he's successful, assuming Dan Quinn can put him in a position to succeed, so to speak. Yeah, that's kind of an interesting side note to keep an eye on, to watch his progress and see how he's doing and if he stays on the field. And, of course, with him, there's also the question of can he stay healthy for a season.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen that from Leighton Vander Esch, and boy, I mean, this would be the right year to do it if ever there was one for him. Expectations for Dan Quinn, Mike McCarthy spoke about that a little bit, and just kind of, I think you know, he did a nice job of covering. Covering maybe isn't the right word, but just giving Mike Nolan a little bit softer of a landing pad for how I think the media lambasted him a season ago, and really kind of made him the scapegoat of the defense. McCarthy saying, you know, it's just really taking a little bit of a different approach, the approach of what today's NFL requires. I don't, you know, he didn't go so far as to say Mike Nolan was outdated, right? Was past his prime, but he did somewhat allude to the idea that Dan Quinn is going to be bringing some new ideas to the defense and that is what they're looking for to be able to take a step forward with that unit in 2021.
Yeah. And he spoke about something specifically on addressing the offensive line or the defensive line. He said that they had brought in size and length on the defensive line so that they matched up better with the Cowboys' offensive line. It gave them a better balance. And he specifically talked about that back when he first entered coaching and the Cowboys were in their early 90s dynasty. He said when their lines ran on the field tilted, you know, and he says they're trying to get back to that where they're big and strong as well as having some athleticism and some speed. Which I think is, to me, that's music to my ears with all the problems they had with run defense. That could be a big step in fixing that. So hopefully we're going to see some of that pay off real quickly.
And then the other thing that stuck out to me, Tom, is, you know, almost every single season the media plays this game to pull a prediction out of Jerry, right? To pull a Jerry Jones, a Jerryism where he says, we're going to the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl or bust. The expectation is that we win a Super Bowl, yada, 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 right? And Jerry didn't go so far as to predict Super Bowls, but he did make a little bit of a comparison, not too much, because he went out of his way to almost say, we don't have a Michael Irvin on this team. We don't have a lot of the players.
A Charles Haley.
There on that 90s team. But at the same time, is it fair to say that the nucleus of what the Cowboys have? And I think what is oftentimes dismissed with that 90s team is how deep they were. They, like, at so many positions, they were extremely talented. It wasn't a top-heavy unit. They were great all over the field. Cornerback, defensive line, linebacker, safety, offensive line, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, all names that today would stick out to you and you would say, okay, that was a potential near Hall of Fame career or Hall of Fame career. Is it fair to compare this unit and some of the names on this team and some of the production that we might see, particularly from the offensive side of the ball? Is it fair to make that comparison?
It's not fair to make the comparison, but I don't have any problem with expressing the hope that it could be there. I mean, he didn't come out and say it, but he kind of skirted around the fact that maybe Randy Gregory could be a version of Charles Haley, you know, a guy who came in with troubles and the team gave him a chance, because Jerry went on at length about how they never gave up on Gregory and how much he's done overcoming his personal issues and everything. And then right at the end of that, he says, I don't know if we've got that leader out there, you know, like that, but maybe it's the quarterback, you know, which was an interesting endorsement of Dak Prescott. Because, and I don't think that's much of a surprise to anyone, in the fact that everyone has just raved about how Dak Prescott has remained a leader, even when he was out with his injury. He was leading that team from the locker room.
I don't know, I know Troy, I know Roger were extremely valuable for not just what they brought on the field, but they were the leaders of their offense. I never, you know, and the leaders of the team in general, right?
Yeah.
I never really felt that way about Tony Romo. While I felt he was a leader of the offense, I never felt like he spoke. In fact, he didn't really even speak for everyone on the offense, because there were those times when Terrell Owens, you know, had his differences of opinion with the quarterback. Like, Dak Prescott is on that Troy Aikman. It's unfair again to say it, but he is on that Troy Aikman, Roger Staubach type of leadership level that I don't think, you know, I think that was missing from Tony Romo a little bit.
Yeah, like, and he's got that character that Roger Staubach had.
Yes.
That you just didn't question his character even when he was stuffing you in a locker. So, you know, for those, look it up, folks. I think they're putting, you know, they're pinning basically their hopes on Dak Prescott, which is kind of the reality of the NFL. The difference is that I think Dak is showing he's got the shoulders to carry that. You know, all he has to do is stay healthy, and I think this team could do some pretty remarkable things this year. I saw a one-loss projection for the league, and they had Dallas as 10-7 and winning the NFC East.
USA Today put that out. The second-place team, Washington, at 8-9.
And I think they had the Giants at 8-9, too.
Did they really?
You know, they were basically battling for mediocrity in the NFC East. So, you know, I think if the Cowboys don't make the playoffs, I think it's a big problem because the NFC East still looks pretty wide open. Now, you know, we're just guessing at what we think we know. But I really think that this is a year where they kind of have to make the playoffs, or there are a lot of questions that have to be asked and some possible changes that might have to be made.
Well, this is not the time to take the pessimistic approach, Tom. This is not the time to explore worst-case scenarios for the Dallas Cowboys. This is the time to talk about best-case scenarios, right? To ride that optimism, to be naive, right? Not be skeptical, not be negative all the time, okay? This is the time to enjoy what the Dallas Cowboys are giving us. And right now, you know, going into a training camp where what feels like for the first time ever, outside of the cloud that hangs over Amari Cooper's head, which, again, I am I'm
stunned,
gobsmacked that no one asked about Amari Cooper. Like, there's 40 of you media people out there. Someone ask about the guy who has the one injury that could cause a serious problem for this thing. But outside of that, no real major injuries to be concerned about, Tom. The offensive line is finally healthy heading into a training camp for the first time in God knows how long. So I'm feeling optimistic, and I think Cowboys fans have a reason to feel optimistic as well. So overall, grade the press conference.
I give it a, you know, B-. It's, you know, it was the standard Cowboys bob and weave, as I like to put it, you know, like Stephen Jones did when they asked him about bringing in more people since they've got an empty spot on the roster, and he just danced all around it and didn't give any kind of an answer at all, just the standard 365 days a year trailer.
It's just three 300 day gig. Yeah. We're a day like 90 of the 300 day journey.
Yeah, he needs to have that parental sign he can hold up like Wile E. Coyote.
Well, man, the Cowboys did do a great job of bobbing and weaving. I'm gonna give it an A-, because we got two great Jerry stories, right? We got the Barry Switzer, we got the F bomb drop in there, and then again the line that I started it all with, and I know it came at the end of the press conference, but that whole thing about it's better to be naive, like, I'm trying to live that in my own life.
Yeah.
I'm trying to live that. It's hard. Because
it is.
It's sometimes hard to just bury your head in the sand and be naive. But you know what? It's a lot cooler when your head's buried in the sand. And from a temperature-wise, it feels good.
I think of it as just turning your back on that stuff and looking at the bright things, you know?
Yeah. Well, we should all do a little bit more of that, Tom. And I think that's a good place to end it. For those of you that are listening, thank you so much for checking out the podcast. We're going to be here with you all training camp. Remember to go to the YouTube page with Blogging the Boys and subscribe, because we're going to have those live streams for you after every Hard Knocks episode and continued throughout training camp. I would imagine that we'll probably have some of those post-Cowboy game as well, live streams going when we get the preseason games going. And, hey, just 2 weeks away from the NFL kicking off. Tom, we got a Hall of Fame game just 2 weeks away.
for the Dallas Cowboys, football season has started.
Yes, sir. And we will have you covered here at Blogging the Boys all season long, all training camp. Get all your information right here. That's the only place you need to be. This will be the place that all the other media outlets are going to get their most up-to-date information. I promise you that, because having been in it, that's where we went on a majority of the time. That's where we went, is Blogging the Boys. So for my man Tom Ryle, follow him at Tom Ryle BTB on social media, on the Twitter sphere. I'm Roy White. You can follow me at RDub3. This has been Riled Up on the Cowboys, again, powered by our friends at SB Nation. We'll see you next week, guys, and training camp underway. First week reactions coming at you next Thursday. Talk to you then.